living in you, the Holy Spirit. Okay, if you'll read with me, I'll read out loud if you want to read to yourself. From Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father of everything, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in Jesus' name and ask that your blessings would be upon us, Lord. Father, we want to know about this Holy Spirit. Father, you've spoken so much to us over the last weeks about the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that you would seal in us, just as he is a seal of our redemption, that you would seal in our hearts the truths about your Holy Spirit, that you would cause us to understand him and to gather that relationship with him, Lord God, in so that we may serve you in a manner that is pleasing. We pray and ask that you would bless us today, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, the first element that I want to talk to you today about is instead, verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and there's this idea of being filled on an ongoing basis with the Spirit. We tend to think as Pentecostals, charismatics, that when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we've arrived, that we're at a place where we've got it all, we got the gifts, and we're happening and we're going forward. But the Scripture teaches us something different. It teaches us and gives us this idea that our lives are not our own and that we are to be on an ongoing basis, continually going forward and filled with the Spirit, just like Paul says to the church at Ephesus. Instead, don't do all these other things. Don't live in a worldly sense. Don't follow after the world and getting drunk. But he said, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make music in your heart. See, these are all elements of being filled with the Spirit on an ongoing basis. And it's a lifestyle, brothers and sisters. It's a walk with the Lord. It's a walk every day that the Spirit of God covers over us, and we walk after him and live after him. From Acts 7, 54 through 56, and when they heard this, they were furious and they gnashed their teeth at him. Well, we've looked at this story before, but this is the story of Stephen, the deacon of First Church in Jerusalem, who the Scripture says when they chose the seven deacons initially, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, he's out on the street doing a little street witnessing, and he starts preaching to the Jews and some of the hierarchy in the Jews, and they start getting all lathered up and worked up into a frenzy, and pretty soon they're... Now, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody gnash their teeth. Or just kind of... You know, when you just... You know, just kind of... Just getting out of sorts, just worked up into a frenzy about what's happening. And pretty soon is what's going to happen. They're going to work up into such a frenzy, they're going to start picking up rocks. And they're going to start throwing them at Stephen to kill him. And Stephen will be a martyr of the church in Jerusalem. He will die. But look at what the Scripture says in verse 55. But Stephen, this is as they're starting to come after him. As they're coming after him. It says that Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Must have just infuriated them as he just gave an incredible sermon from Genesis all the way to the New Testament, telling them about their father Abraham and all the different elements of the Old Testament and how the Old Testament led up and led all of these Old Testament believers to look like Abraham, to look for the Savior, the Messiah, to come. And they were just livid. But the Scripture says that Stephen was a man of God who was filled continually on an ongoing basis. He didn't just receive the baptism and up your room. Okay, Lord, now I got the baptism. Hallelujah. I'm speaking in tongues and I'm filled with your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Walk away and live like the devil the rest of your life. That's not what the Scripture teaches us. The Scripture calls us to be continually filled on an ongoing basis. We need to go to those mountaintop experiences. Load up. Fuel up. You know, it's like those big diesels with those, you know, those 50-gallon drums on the side of each one of them. They pull into the Sunoco truck stop and you're sitting behind them and you know it's going to take 2 hours. Because they got to fuel up. They got to fill up continually with the power of the Holy Spirit to live their lives for Jesus. So that they can live and sing-song. They can not walk in the flesh. They can live for the Lord. And so that's what happens with Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. Scripture implores us to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're new with us today, you'll notice that there are notes in your bulletin. You can pull those out, and as these words come flying in from the left or the right and the top and the back, you can fill those in. And they're usually just single words. It's just to kind of help you keep focused on where we are. Continually, on an ongoing basis. From Acts 13:9, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looks straight at Elymas. Now, who's Elymas? Elymas is the sorcerer who's been following him around and giving him a hard time, calling out and saying things, and Paul's just finally had enough of it because he wants to lead this governmental leader to Christ. And this sorcerer is just coming at him, coming at Paul. He's trying to lead people to Christ. He's trying to build the Lord's church, and finally, Paul turns to him and filled with the Holy Spirit, he looks straight at Elymas and said, "You're a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that's right. You're full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to go blind, and from this time you'll be unable to see the light." And immediately a mist and darkness overtook him. You see, Paul filled with the Holy Spirit on an ongoing basis. A refueling periodically, a refueling, gassing up, stopping at the Sunoco station, stopping at the Exxon, getting the high test fuel so that you can go on with the walk with the Lord. Does that make sense? You can't do this on your own. You are never going to find success. You're never going to find prosperity in the things of the Lord. I'm not talking about financial, but in the things of the Lord's work, until you get a grip and an understanding that you have got to have the Holy Spirit working in your life continually, and you need that ongoing filling. From Acts 13:48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all those who were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord spread through the region, but the Jews incited God-fearing women of high standing and leading men of the city, and they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they expelled them from the city, from the region. And the Scripture then says, it says that the disciples, they went outside the city, and they rejoiced. They had joy. And the disciples were filled with joy, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, they're going about the work of the kingdom of God being continually, on an ongoing basis, being filled with the Spirit. You can't do the work of the kingdom of God without being filled with the Spirit. And that tank, I got news for you. How many of you, oh Lord, I hope it's not me. I left mine at home. You can't do the work of the kingdom of God without being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. You are going to fail over, as no one wants to reach for it. Is that my wife's? Oh, Lord Jesus. It's not mine, Noel. You've got to have this continual ongoing infilling. Otherwise, you're just walking in the flesh. Some of you, we ask ourselves, well, why is my life so difficult? So much of it is because we're not walking and living in the Spirit. We need that continually in our lives. And the disciples were filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, here's the question. Why is being continually filled with the Holy Spirit so important to our walk with Christ? Why is this thing, why are you making such a big deal out of it, Pastor? What's the story? Well, there is a story. From 2 Corinthians 13:14, the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship Pay attention now, Stephen. The intimate friendship. 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 That's Eugene Peterson's the Message. Love the Message. The version, the translation, the Message, the paraphrase. The friendship of the Holy Spirit. Same verse from the New International Version. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship. The fellowship. The relational elements of the Spirit. We want to think of Him as some ghost who floats around and kind of into our lives. I got news for you. He's a person. And He wants relationship with you. Precious Jesus. That's worth the price of admission, folks. We should just turn it off right now, Tristan. We go home with that one. He wants relationship with you. He wants friendship. He wants fellowship. And that from the same verse, from the King James, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the, remember I told you we're going to look at this today, and the communion. I'm not talking about the bread and the loaf. I'm talking about communion. That He wants relationship, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Remember the question we started asking? Why is being continually filled with the Holy Spirit so important to our walk with Christ? Start to get an idea and an understanding. It's about relationship. The Greek word is koinonia. Koinonia, you've heard this before. Koinonia. What does it mean? It means communion. It means association. It means partnership. I love that. Partnership. That is the same word in verse 14, koinonia, that the different translations have translated communion, fellowship, intimate friendship. The word is koinonia. An association involving close mutual relations and involvement. Close association. Fellowship. That the Lord would want that with me. We're talking about being continually filled. Remember we said first, you need to be continually filled. It's not just a one-time shot with the baptism of the Spirit. You need this ongoing filling with the Holy Spirit. But why do we want to do that? Why is that so important to us? John, we read this earlier, but we're going to read it from the Message. I'm no longer called you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you as friends, says the Lord. I am a friend of God. Do you think of yourself as a friend of God? Is like God your BFF? What? For all of you who are a little out of the times. Best friend forever? You know, I'm real hip. Friends. Through ongoing, continual infilling, we develop an intimate friendship with the person of the Holy Spirit. Huh. Through ongoing, continual infilling, we develop an intimate friendship with the person. Person. He's a person. He's a person. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons of the Holy Trinity. The Father has characteristics. The Son has characteristics. The Holy Spirit has characteristics. What they're like, just as every one of you have personality traits. Some of you are quirky in this way, and some of you are quirky in this way. But you're all different. You see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all 100% God. Each is fully God, but they're persons. They're persons. All right, so why do we find it so difficult to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit and ultimately to have an intimate, ongoing relationship? Why is that so tough for us? Why do we struggle with this? And we do. Don't tell me you don't struggle with it, because I struggle with it and I get paid to do this. I know you do. Don't get holy and self-righteous on me. I know you struggle with an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. I know it. I have to work really hard at this. It's because I don't see him. He doesn't sit next to me at the dinner table. Maybe he should. Maybe I should set a place. You know, that's what some of those preachers do. They put an extra chair up on the stage so that everybody knows the Holy Spirit is right. It's not a half bad idea, is it? Setting a place for him at the dinner table. Making a bed up next to your... Maybe you're not sleeping well. Just make a bed up. That's your bed, Holy Spirit. He's a person! Why do we have such a tough time with this, folks? Why is it just such a struggle? I think there are very specific reasons why. That's why I want to go over with you. From Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto your hearers. So Paul, again, to the church at Ephesus, he's telling them, listen, don't let this foolishness and garbage come out of your mouth. You need to stop that stuff. Stop the foolishness and the ugliness coming out of your mouth, but only say things that are going to minister and edify grace and give grace. Verse 30, And grieve not. What? And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's saying, Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, he says, listen, get rid of all the slander. Get rid of all the foolish talk. Get rid of all that stuff in your home. Get rid of it in your life. Don't let it exist around you. None of it. Get it out. Get it out, because when you let it live, when you let it breathe, when you let it breed in your family, in your heart, and in your life, is what you're doing is you are grieving the Holy Spirit. He goes on, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, put it away in all malice. Get rid of it. Why? Why? Because it damages my relationship with the Holy Spirit. It causes the Holy Spirit to be grieved in my life. And how many of you have had a friend in the past who you've done something to them that grieved them, upset them? Or, since maybe you didn't ever do that to anybody else, maybe you had it done to you. What happens to your relationship? It's got a chink in it, doesn't it? It's got a little bit of grief going on in it. And it's just not, you're just not hitting on all eight cylinders, are you? You're not BFFs. Because there's a problem. There's a problem. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. And when you do these things, and when we do these things in our lives, and we have these things working in our lives continually, we grieve Him. We grieve Him. And it is a grievous thing to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because we pay. We pay in a relationship that is chipped. From Acts 5:36. And then Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some money? You have not lied to men, but to God. Well,
This is an incredible story. Ananias and Sapphira, they conspired together to lie to the Holy Spirit, and they said, we sold the land for this much. And Peter is sitting in front of me and says, why have you done this? It was yours first. Well, you didn't have to give it. Why did you conspire together and lie to the Holy Spirit? And he said, now they're going to drag you out by your heels and bury you. Because you lied to the Holy Spirit. This is an extreme case. But the point is that Ananias and Sapphira did something that really, really grieved the Holy Spirit. And their lives were ended. I mean, this is serious. I'm not pulling punches on this with you guys. Because we asked the question. We said, okay, we're supposed to be continually filled. We're supposed to be continually filled so that we have this intimate friendship and we have this communion, this fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And the reason that we don't have that is because we're doing that. We're grieving Him. From Acts 7. You stiff-necked people and uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Well, what's going on here? Well, this is Stephen again. Stephen has been preaching the gospel to these Jews, and they are frothing. And they're stoning him. They're getting ready, or they actually are putting him to death. And he calls out what the problem is. He says, you always resist what the Holy Spirit is doing. You see, so you have grieving him by our actions. We have resistance. Okay, again, why are we doing this? Because I want to be continually filled. I want to have the friendship with God. But why don't I? Why do I struggle with it? It's because my life, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. I'm resisting the Holy Spirit. I'm resisting what He's doing. Stephen is telling those Jews and all those people, he's saying, listen, the Holy Spirit's doing this incredible work in Jerusalem. All these people are getting saved. 3,000 in the upper room. The Holy Spirit dropped on them. They all spoke in all these different languages, and people are getting healed and set free, and the power of the Holy Spirit is coming over. And you Jews, you're sitting over here, and you're resisting Him. He has a work that He's planned in these chapters of Acts. And that's the spreading forth of the gospel. And these men will resist the Holy Spirit to the point where they will take rocks and slam them into the body of Stephen and kill him. The beautiful Holy Spirit anointed, power-packed evangelist and deacon for First Church. And they'll kill him. This is how far this can go. And that's something to be fearful of in our lives. This is how far resisting the Holy Spirit can go. It can take you all the way to this nth degree where you're resisting and coming against actually the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not where you guys are at, of course, but I want you to get the gist of what I'm trying to say is that the reason we suffer and we can't get this fellowship thing going is we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're resisting the Holy Spirit. And then from 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Again, you see that joyful things going on? Be joyful in the Lord. Speaking psalms and songs of praise. Even if you're in prison in shackles, that's what those disciples were doing. They were in the prison in the shackles, and in the middle of the night, they're singing songs unto the Lord, and the Holy Spirit comes, the angels come, shakes the whole prison, and it breaks open the things, and the jailer's about ready to put a sword through himself. They say, no, don't kill yourself. We're still here. No. We're just praising the Lord, and the Lord shaking the foundations of the very prison. Precious Jesus, who is this God we serve? Just from praise, you free the shackles right off of our legs. What's shackling you today? Pray continually. Come to the Friday night prayer meeting at your church. You see that? Verse 17. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In 19. Oh, do not put out the Spirit's fire. I've got resisting, I've got quenching, I got putting out the Spirit's fire.
Why do I have such a tough time having an intimate fellowship and relationship with Him? Pick your poison. They're all poison. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. That's the NIV. And then from the King James, 1 Thessalonians, quench. Love that. Same word. Same Greek word. Quench not the Spirit. What do you do when you quench? When you quench a fire, you take a 55-gallon bucket, a tub of a drum of water, and you boosh, and you just put it out. From the New Living Translation, don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't stifle Him. What are you doing when you're stifling? You just kind of, Everybody do that with, You know what I mean? You ask yourself, why don't I have that intimate friendship and relationship with the Lord? From the Message, don't suppress the Spirit. It's all the same scripture, 1 Thessalonians. Don't put His fire out. Don't quench Him. Don't stifle Him. Don't suppress Him. You know, I've been reading a book by Roland Allen. It was in the early 20th century, 1925-ish, I think, something like that. Very unknown author. I ran into him. It was a reference in another book. Roland Allen was his name, and he's a missionary. And one of the things that has been so inspiring for me in reading this work that has been so poorly given to the kingdom of God is he has this idea of he calls it the spontaneous expansion of the kingdom of God. The spontaneous going forward of the kingdom of God. That all of these missions organizations, Roland will talk about, these missions organizations, they want to control. They go into another country, they throw money, they throw men and women lives at the missions organization, and then they come in and they want to control the expansion of the gospel. No, the indigenous people, no, they can't lead. No, they got to wait. They got to be trained by us. And until we get them trained, until the missionaries get them trained, they got to take a lesser role. They got to take this back seat to the kingdom of God. And in the expansion of the kingdom of God, what Alan's premise is, that's not the kingdom of God. That's control of men. That's a suppressing of the Holy Spirit. That's a quenching of the Holy Spirit. Where if we would cut them loose and let those indigenous peoples go forward and let the power of the Holy Spirit transfer the gospel throughout the corners of the world from one end to the other, the gospel would blossom and go forward just like it did in Jerusalem. There's no missions agency in Jerusalem. Nothing wrong with missions agency. They just tend to control. Whose idea is it to transfer and to spread the kingdom of God? Who came up with that first? It's Jesus. I think He can handle it. Thank God I get to work alongside Him as a partner. But if I'm always quenching, if I'm always grieving, if I'm always resisting the Holy Spirit, I have no partnership with Him. And that's why I'm walking around wondering why my life is always a mess. It's because I have no relationship, an ongoing, continual infilling with the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, oh my. Resisting. Grieving. Quenching the Holy Spirit damages our friendship, fellowship, and communion with Him. Oh. That is worth the price of admission right there. Oh, I don't want to do that. We all do it to some degree. But when I know I'm doing it, when I figured out what's going on, I need to get a grip. Right? Okay. How can I keep? Solution, Pastor David. Now that you got me all bent over. Oh. Don't get all bent over. We're going to have a resolution on this thing. How can I keep from grieving the Holy Spirit and damaging my relationship with Him? Okay. Are you ready? This is the price of next week's ticket. I mean it. I really mean it. I got to tell you, this stuff is important. Because if I am going to fulfill the calling and the purpose that God has in my life, I have got to have relationship with Him. I have got to know Him. I must be continually in communication with Him all the time. And I must have relationship. And if I don't, oh, what am I doing? I'm just spinning my wheels. I don't want to spin my wheels for the kingdom. Oh, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? This is clue number one. The Spirit of the living God comes to live inside. We've been through this, down this road. The Spirit of the living God comes to live inside of every Christian. Every person. Every person. We are His temple. We are His home. He lives there. That does nothing to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a baptism of fire for the purpose and for the works of spreading the gospel. I'm talking about every man and woman, every child who comes to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit seals them into the kingdom. He puts the Holy Spirit in them. You're His temple. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Okay, so we're starting to get a clue. Why? 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body. We're talking about the body here. We're talking about the temple of the Holy Spirit here. Okay, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple, a house of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you received from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God in your body. Honor Him. If we belong to Christ, our bodies are the home of the Spirit of the living God. Therefore, we're called to live in a manner which glorifies the Spirit of the living God. And when we fail to live in that manner, guess what? We grieve, we quench, we put out the Spirit's fire, we stifle Him, and we just plain separate ourselves. It's like, you know, when I've done something to offend Noel, I mean, when I've done something, and I know it's not very often, but it does happen once in a while. When I do something, get out of order, out of line in some way, you know, it's absolutely amazing. I can just read her like a book that there's something, I did it. I did something. And she's offended. And so my relationship with her is not where I want it to be at that moment because she's offended at something I've done. It's always me. It's never her. I know better about you. It's a chink. It's a relational thing. And that's what happens when we resist His will, when we grieve Him by something that we've done, when we suppress Him, when we quench the fire, is that we begin to separate ourselves from Him, and that is why we don't have the relationship with Him. How many of you want a relationship with the Holy Spirit all the time? You want to be continually filled all the time. That's what I want to live like this too. From 1 John 2:26, I'm writing these things to warn you about those who lead you astray. But you've not received the Holy Spirit. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives in you, back down to the bottom. So just as He has taught you, remain in fellowship with Him. Don't put this aside. Keep it clear, the bottom line. Number one, be continually filled with the Spirit. Number two, develop an intimate friendship with the person of the Holy Spirit by walking with Him daily, hour by hour, minute by minute. Don't put it off. You've got to keep focused on it. You've got to work at it. You've got to work. Any good relationship takes work, doesn't it? Doesn't it take work? You got to work at it. You got to want to do it. You got to say, I'm going to invest time, I'm going to invest energy, and I'm going to work at it because I want it to work. Number three, understand that resisting, grieving, and quenching the Holy Spirit damages your relationship with Him and correct your actions. When I do those things in our family, I have to correct them. I have to make it right. When I've done something that I have to make it right, I have to get it right. And I don't go up to that person who I've offended and I don't say, gee, I'm sorry. Do you know that I'm sorry is not in the Bible? Do you realize that? It's not in the Bible. Now, will you forgive me is in the Bible. Why? What's the difference, Pastor? That's what I mean. When I say I'm sorry when I've done something, someone's what I mean is, I mean in my heart, I really mean, will you forgive me? No. What's the distinction? Well, the distinction is that when you ask for forgiveness, you're asking them to let loose of something. They can either choose to forgive you by saying, yes, I forgive you, or no, get away from me, you no good, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, you put it back on them. Because the Scripture says we have to forgive. You can't hold things against people. So stop saying I'm sorry and start asking forgiveness. Does that make sense? Correct your actions. You want that relationship? Fix it. That's what you have to do. And lastly, realize that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit and live in a manner which is pleasing to Him. Focus your heart and your energy on Him. Have a relationship with Him. And if you don't have one, can I have the worship team up front, please, Andrew? Thank you. If you're struggling with that, admit it to Him. Just come to Him and say, you know, Lord, I do this all the time. Lord, I'm not where I want to be with You. I've done things to You, and I've offended You. The Holy Spirit's living inside of me, and I've done things with this temple. I've done things with my life that are offensive to You and offensive to Him, to this person. And I ask You to forgive me because I want the Holy Spirit working and living in me every second of every day. Can you say amen to that?